All right. Hey, well, thanks to all the folks who put that together. And I hope that'll encourage you and kind of cast a little thought and vision there for what's going to take place next Sunday late afternoon. Couple invitations, like I said, in your program. Hey, also, men, don't let me forget this. I know there's a lot going on in the spring for you. Iron Sharpens Iron is next Saturday. And so information out in the foyer there. Don't forget that. Great opportunity for the men here. Well, take your Bibles, find Mark chapter 12. If you're finding Mark chapter 12, I want to show you, give you a brief update and show you a couple slides. Leadership team the other week met and has enlisted the services of a civil engineering firm, and they're beginning to kind of put together a plan to present to the county about expanding our parking and adding another entrance. That right there is like the current master plan. That's a zoom in of what kind of we have right now. Of course, we have some rear gravel parking already. The next slide shows you front and a little bit of side expanded parking and a new entrance. Also shows you kind of a pad area of where future building will go. Really what this would be like is phase like 2A. What we'll walk away with if this is approved and we're able to, you know, decide to take the faith step of going forward with adding these parking spaces, this new entrance. Also, it'll put a curb in and a sidewalk in. Kind of around where the thought is the next phase of building would go. So I just wanted you to have that there and to ask you just to be praying for the engineers, for the county planners and leaders there as they review these things. Just praying as if the decision's made to go for bids and all that, how all that comes in and works together. And I actually pray for our leadership, our stewardship teams, and all those guys involved in that. So if you're willing to pray and keep this matter in your prayers, would you just say amen? Amen. God bless you for that. All right, I appreciate you doing it. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 following. Here, it's interesting scripture we're going to look at for a few moments today because Jesus has been being kind of quizzed by the religious leaders of his day. Hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? That's been going on. And evidently, his answers, as you would expect, have been pretty impressive to the point that verse 28 tells us that one of the other scribes, now a scribe, think religious leader, best analogy I can give you, connection for modern day nomenclature, it would be like a seminary professor, a college professor, who is like kind of considered an expert in the scriptures, all right? It'd be kind of like, in terms of like everyday civil or criminal law, it'd be like a lawyer, all right? Well, he comes and it says this, that in verse 28, that he had seen that Jesus, or he had answered them well. And so he asked Jesus this question. He says, which commandment is the most important of all? Most important, the Greek New Testament is the word proto. You've heard of a prototype. He's asking Jesus, what is the first and foremost commandment? In the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 22, this account is also recorded. And there it's translated from the Greek word mega. What is the greatest commandment out of all of them, Jesus? What he was in essence asking Jesus is out of all of what God's word has told us, out of all of the commands of God, what is to be my greatest priority? What is God's ultimate will for my life? And now listen to how Jesus answers, verse 29. The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32, the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. Kids, that'd be like, it'd be kind of like Jesus saying, the scribe saying to Jesus, wow, what an awesome answer. That's a phenomenal answer. You are so on. You're so right. You have truly said that he's one, that there is no one other, no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, hey, it is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's much more than all of our religious traditions and all of our activities. Verse 34, when Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that you'll help us to understand life's greatest priority. Lord, help us understand what is your essential will for our life. Help us to understand that today, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, there are many stories from the tragic shipwreck of the Titanic. You certainly have heard of the famed voyage of the Titanic, the unsinkable ship that upon its first voyage sank to the bottom of the icy cold North Atlantic Ocean. In fact, the date was April 14, 1912, Titanic strikes an iceberg. 1,523 of the over 2,200 passengers died that night on the Titanic as it sunk into the depths of the ocean. There came out of the sinking, though, out of the survivors, many different stories, many different tales, many different kind of accounts of what those last moments were like. One of the testimonies comes from one of about a dozen or so millionaires who were on the Titanic when it sank, or were on it on that original voyage, and he was one of the only millionaires who actually survived the sinking. His name is this, I wrote it down, Major Arthur Godfrey Pushin. And Major did something very interesting. When the call to abandon ship was made, Major runs back to his stateroom, his room on the ship. And in the room, we're told, he had approximately $300,000 worth of cash, jewelry, and securities. He leaves all of those and he grabs three things. He grabs three oranges. You see, in the moment of that tragedy, in the moment of life or death, he understood the difference between life's luxuries and life's essentials. He knew that more than even money itself, what might become most important to his survival and the survival of another person would be oranges. Three oranges. Today I want to talk to you about three essentials that are part of God's will for every single one of us. I want you to take your note page out or a piece of paper and write down these three essentials, or kind of oranges, if you will. These three essentials that today we need to grab as part of God's will. Well, look with me there at the Lord's response to this question. He says, here, you want to know what is life's priority? What is the greatest commandment? Here it is. The most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. Right there, Jesus answers and gives us a clue to the first essential you and I need to grab when it comes to God's will in our lives. And it's this word. I wrote down the word relationship. You and I need to understand, Jesus has asked, hey, what is the greatest command? And instead of giving a to-do list, what he does is he says, the Lord your God is one. You see, there's one true God, and you can know him. There is one true God, and you can have a relationship with him. And this ought to be your response to the one true God. You ought to love him. You ought to love him. Love is a relational word. It's a word about relationship. God's will for your life and my life begins with a relationship. You look in the scripture, the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. The book of Genesis talks about Abraham. Exodus talks about Moses. And the Bible tells us that God spoke with them as a man talks to his friend. You go all the way to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we see here God comes in human flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, he came in flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. Go all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. There in that apocalyptic vision, you see there the culmination in God himself establishing a beautiful and glorious city for believers to live with him forever, evermore. You see in the Bible relationship, all 66 books of the Bible call for and celebrate having a relationship with God. But understand something. Understand something. Our relationship with God doesn't stem from what I would call a do, but it's about a who. Right? You might want to write that down. Our relationship with God isn't about a do, it's about who. You see, most of the time we think about, well, I've got this long to-do list of all these things I have to do for me to be right with God. In fact, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious teachers, the authorities of this day, they had compiled a list of 613 individual commandments, citing the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and saying, this is the list. This is your to-do list. Today, you have a to-do list of 613 commands from God, and your job is this, is to do every single one of them. That's this long list. And see, what had happened is basically you had folks who had just been consumed with legalism, or you had folks who had said, well, this is crazy and impossible. They just threw their hands up and they just said, hey, just gonna live and let live. I have a list here. There was a rabbi in around 1000 AD. He was Rabbi Moses ben Maimin. In short, you take his initials, he's also known as Rambam. I mean, I'm being serious. Scholars call him Rambam. And Rambam came up with a list of the 613 commands, and here they are right here. In small type, if you're curious today, here they are. Here's the 613 different commands they had identified. And Jesus just goes to the heart of the matter. And he says, you want to know what God's essential will is for you? It starts with a relationship. It starts with you understanding that God wants to have a relationship with you. The one true God wants you to love him. He wants to have a relationship with you. But we don't work our way into this relationship with God. He lovingly extends the offer of a relationship to us through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, when you study the New Testament, you actually find that there are very, very few times where we are told to love God. Because the New Testament writers just became overwhelmed with how much God loves us. Most of the time, they write and they talk about God's love for us. It's almost just assumed that because God's love for us is so passionate and so wonderful and so awesome, that loving him is just somewhat assumed. The New Testament shows you that time and time again. Let me give you a place. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, the first 10 verses, are a magnificent place to go back and read. And there you just see the testimony of God's great love for us and what Christ has done for us. But so often, this is what happens. When it comes to a relationship with God, we think it comes down to our performance and our effort. Our performance and our effort. And I'm here to tell you, a relationship with God isn't based on your effort. It's based on what Christ has done for us. Now, why would you think that? Why would you think it's based on your performance or your effort? Well, it's easy to see why, because all of your life is based on effort and performance. I mean, kids, you go to school, you get a report card, you get grades on Edline or wherever they're posting them, and you understand this. It's based on your performance. It's based on how you did on that quiz or that test, right? You go to work tomorrow, sir, ma'am, you go to work, and what is your salary? What is your evaluation going to be based on? It's going to be based on your effort and on your performance. There's been a lot of talk in the news lately about VCU, and here's the deal. Understand this. You know, all this discussion about, did they deserve to be in the tournament, and they had the big banner out at the airport, chiding Dick Vitale, eat crow, baby, and all this stuff, you know. And here's the deal. VCU went from the first four to the next round, to the next round, to the next round, and ended up in the final four for one reason. It wasn't because their mascot was cuter than all the rest. It wasn't because their colors were the best. They went from the one round to the next for one reason, their performance. They scored more points than their opponent. There's one reason they're not playing tomorrow night in the championship. It's because their performance. It's because they did not score as many points as the team they were playing. You see, life is built around performance and effort. That's the life in which we wake up in. But God says, when it comes to relationship with me, it's not about your performance. See, the world's religions are so different from being a follower of Christ because they are all based on the same belief. It is effort. But you see, there's a problem with that. We don't cut it. We sin. We mess up. We have all sinned, the Bible says, and have fallen short of the glory of God. James 4:17 says, Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. There's only one way we can have a relationship with God, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, this is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says, who gave himself as a ransom for it. You see, Jesus gave his life for you and for me. As a song said that we sang, Jesus paid it all. Why? So you and I could have a relationship with the one true God. Loving God starts with a relationship through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, you've heard me say it, if you've been here long, 1,000 times. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So fill in the blank. Here's how God's will starts in your life. Here it is. Write it down. It is God's will for me to have a relationship with him. The first essential. The first essential you grab is relationship. Relationship. But there's a second. There's a second essential that I want you to grab. Write this word down. It's the word growth. The second essential part of God's will for your life is growth. Jesus says this in verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God. And he gives a description. He says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, when he said that, what he was teaching was this. He's saying, listen, you love the Lord your God with all that there is in you. You love the Lord with all of you that there is. So it is God's will for me to have a relationship. It's God's will for me to have a growing relationship with him through Jesus Christ. You see, for me to love God in this way Jesus is describing, you know what? That requires in my life for me to be growing and maturing in the Lord, for me to come to learn more and more every day what it means for me to truly love him, what it means for me to value him more than anyone or anything else. You think about loving God with all your heart. You know, the heart was pictured as the center of all your passions and your desires in your decision-making. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. All throughout the Bible, the heart is pictured as the seat of where you make a decision about what or who is most important to you. Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, pictured our heart like this. He said, it's like your heart is a throne, and you have to decide who is going to be on the throne of your life? Who is going to govern and rule your life? Loving God with all of your heart means this, that I've said, Lord, you are on the throne of my life. That's how growing in the Lord begins. Then he talks about the soul, loving him with all your soul. When I think about soul, I think about Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, the soul is the part of you that makes you so unique in the Lord. It's the part of you that is able to commune directly with the Lord through prayer. And I tell you, an essential part of us having a growing relationship with the Lord, for us loving the Lord with our heart and our soul, I think a key ingredient is prayer. I think a key ingredient is praise. You know, when we gather together like this, we come together in here, and all of a sudden, our hearts and our souls are prompted and encouraged to praise Him. You know, you might have come in here today and you weren't even thinking about Jesus having paid it all. But all of a sudden, the worship team has planned to sing that song. And before you know it, you're caught up in singing that song. And your soul is remembering and praising God for what He's done for you. Your soul. How do you have a growing relationship? You have that soul encounter with the Lord through praise and prayer. And hopefully that happens on Sundays for you. Maybe it happens when you come back Wednesday. But hopefully it can even, you know, it's even happening throughout your week. And he talks about your mind, loving the Lord with your mind. And I made this note. You don't have to leave your brains at the door when you come to church. I hope you know that. You don't have to leave your brains at the door and just come in here and base all of your relationship with the Lord on just kind of your feelings and your emotion. Here it says your mind. It's your intelligence. You know, it's one of the reasons we value Bible study. It's one of the reasons that we have 2 different hours, even on Sunday morning, where you can engage in Bible study and There's different Bible study groups for different folks in your family. It's one of the reasons that we have different opportunities throughout the week. And ultimately, you can do that on your own. And each and every day as you gather together here I've been experimenting with on the back of your sermon notes, giving you some things throughout the week to think about and to study on, giving you some questions to mull over and to prayerfully consider and to open your mind to the things of the Lord and to know that this book here is a book of truth that's meant to encounter you in the mind as well as the heart and soul. You know, the Bible says renew your mind. You see, the Lord knows that there's a great battle that takes place in your mind. You know, what you don't get to see, what you're not an eyewitness to, is the battle that goes on each and every day between my two ears. There's a battle that goes on in your mind and in my mind. And Jesus says, you know what, part of loving Him is growing in Him and renewing your mind in Him. Then He talks about strength. Now, strength's an interesting word because really what that refers to is all that there is about you in your physical strength. It's your life. It's your vigor. It's all that would describe what you do throughout the day. Loving God with all your strength. You know what? It takes us growing in Him to the point where we come to understand, Lord, I want You to take all of my time. Lord, I want You to take my talents and my treasure. And Lord, I want You to use it for Your glory. Now, does it mean that all we do is just kind of, you know, sit around in a trance or something like that and just have to kind of mumble Bible verses over and over and over and over again, or just kind of get in a corner somewhere and we never go forth? No, because you're going to see the third essential. The third essential helps us to understand that we're to put some feet to this love we have for the Lord. So loving the Lord your God with all that is within you, it takes some growth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God. Now, whenever the Bible is like that straight up, I try to like pay really a special attention to it, all right? For this is the will of God. And it says sanctification. You want to know what sanctification is? Let me give you a definition of it. I can give you fancy definitions if you want, but let me give it to you in just an everyday phrase. When it talks about sanctification, I wrote this down: having a growing relationship with the Lord. That's it, bottom line. It involves all of me. But you say, but how can I practically get back into growing? You know, Revelation chapter 2. There Jesus is confronting churches. He's confronting churches. And in Revelation chapter 2, listen to what He says. He says, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. And you know what? That's what happens to us sometimes. We're not growing in the Lord anymore. And here's why. As Revelation chapter 2 says, it's because we've abandoned that first love. We've abandoned our first love for the Lord. And Jesus kind of gives a remedy to that. He says in the next verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen. You know what we need to do sometimes? We just need to stop and we just need to remember what our life was like before Christ. We need to remember and think about, what would my life be like if the Lord wasn't my God? If I didn't have Jesus in my life, if I wasn't seeking to love Him with my heart and all my passion. I mean, I just think about, man, just consider what my life might have turned out like. The first thing you want to get fired about growing in Him and your love for the Lord, I think it starts with remembering. Now, you know, I profess my faith in Christ. I went public with my faith in Christ. I was then baptized as a believer. I was 11. You know, just to be honest with you, I can't remember hardly anything from my life when I was 11. And that can be a challenge for some of you in here who are going, you know, well, man, I just seems like I've been a follower of the Lord my whole life. And you know what? Well, what you have to do is in my life, I'll just tell you a personal testimony. I've actually had to go back and try to say, Lord, help me to remember. Help me to remember what it was like when I first really genuinely put my faith in You. And the Lord took me back to a conversation a pastor came over and had with me in the living room of my parents' house. I still remember that like now like it was yesterday. I remember when he sat there and he said, hey, now here's a few little booklets here that you might work through and it'll help you begin to grow in the Lord. I have to admit to you, I don't think I ever really finished the little booklets, and I had some ups and downs as a teenager. But then I remember back to how God began to work in my life as a 16-year-old. And I just begin to remember God's grace in my life. That might be a place to start for you if you've kind of grown cold in your love for the Lord. Then it says in Revelation 2, it says repent. Repent. You know what that means? It means changing your mind. For me, it may be saying, Lord, I just need to change my mind about what I value. I just need to say, Lord, for the record, I value you more than anything. And then he says in Revelation 2, do what you used to do. Do what you did at first. Get back to that. You know, before you figured out what other folks sometimes would do that claim to be Christians, just do what the Holy Spirit originally began to prompt you to do. Worship the Lord, study the Scripture, seek to understand the Scripture, pray with a childlike faith, just walk up to somebody or invite somebody without being embarrassed. Say, hey, would you, I'd like to invite you to come out to church. I'd like to invite you to come out to extravaganza. And before we're like, oh, I wonder what they're going to say. Man, I'm telling you. A growing relationship with the Lord. Folks, it's within reach. It's within reach. It really is. There's one last third essential, and I kind of alluded to it. You got relationship. Well, you're probably thinking left to right. Relationship, growth, impact. Impact's the last word I want you to write down, because Jesus does something here that not many other very noteworthy people had done thus far. Jesus takes Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema confession of the Jewish faith. They said it in the morning and the evening. That's the love of the Lord your God with all of who you are. And he combines it with a quote from Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus is pointing out, hey, listen, this is one unit. Here it is. If you have a growing relationship with the Lord, it doesn't end there. It's intended to impact others. So here's God's will in a phrase. It's God's will for me to have a growing relationship with him that has an impact on others. For Christ. God's will for everyone. That's it. Impact. Loving your neighbor as yourself is one of the most repeated commands in the Bible. At least 8 times it's repeated. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14, for instance, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This takes our love and our worship for the Lord, and it puts it into action that impacts our neighbors. A few months ago, my wife and I, we had to file a claim because of an accident, bumping into a car near Cosby High School. And we've been with State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. We've been with State Farm our whole married life. And I tell you what, props to State Farm, man. They, like within 2 weeks, we had the car back. It looked better than new. They took care of the other car and all that. And just handle it marvelously. In all seriousness, our agent just did a great job with it, and props to State Farm. But last week I did get a letter from him, and at first I guess maybe this is a thank you letter for using State Farm or something. Well, actually, it kind of was a thank you letter, but then it did have this line. According to Virginia state law, because of your recent accident, we're allowed to raise your premium by X amount. Then down at the bottom it had the motto, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, you know. Yeah. As long as you paid a premium, all right? That's the lesson there, kids. You insurance, good neighbor, but pay your premium, all right? Here's the deal. When Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying don't attach any price tag. 1 John chapter 4. You want to read a chapter of the Bible that will help you to understand why we ought to love people? Right there, I'll give you one phrase from it. It's a great, great encouragement. We're told in the Scripture that we love because He first loved us. You say, well, who am I to love? My next door neighbor's name is John. I should love him. You certainly should, because neighbor literally means the one near you. But Jesus took the definition much broader. Luke chapter 10, remember the story of the Good Samaritan? In that story, Jesus makes the point, hey, clue in, folks, everyone is your neighbor. So let me get real practical here. How do you love your neighbor? How do you have an impact for Christ? I wrote this down. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now, I could cut John's grass, I could rake his leaves, I could make him and his wife a meal. But there are certain things I can't do for them. But the Lord can meet their deepest need. Number two, I wrote down, show and tell. We need to do good deeds. We need to do things in Jesus' name. We need to hand out cold cups of water, and we do that as a church. But understand this. I wrote this phrase down. Our goal is not just to make earth a better place to go to hell from. Understand this. We're here to show and tell. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Pray for them. Show and tell. And then I wrote this. Love local, but give global. It's both and, folks. It's impacting our neighbors and the nations. You know, loving our neighbor as ourselves and realizing that our neighborhood expands beyond just our zip code. Love local, give global. Those are some things that the Lord will file away. You know, I tell you, I look practically in the life of our church. I think about growing in the Lord, and I'm just so thankful for what God has done is doing in so many disciples' lives here. You know, in particular this week, it hit me that our men's fraternity groups, we've been at it now for almost 24 weeks. Men who are in men's fraternity, when was the last time you did anything 24 times in a row, you know? I mean, man, that's a long time. But you've invested in growing in relationship with the Lord. Wow, man, I praise the Lord for that investment. And maybe you're growing, you're in other Bible studies, folks here, and think about what God's doing to our children, our students. We had this great big creation fair here Wednesday night where children and parents were being encouraged to grow in Him. And then I think about impact. Our ladies this weekend had a retreat, and they heard from Beth Sheffield and others who are involved in the local prison ministry. What a great impact they're having. I think back to preaching, they're in that local prison and sitting there thinking, wow, this is somebody's daughter, this is somebody's mom, this is somebody's wife. Folks, I'm telling you, have a vision to have an impact. So here's God's will. It's God's will for me to have a growing relationship with Him that makes an impact for Christ. But Jesus here, here's the response from this guy. He says, wow, you're right. He goes on and kind of restates what Jesus has said. He's agreeing with Jesus. Saying, man, Jesus, you're right on. This is more than all the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. He's saying, you're right. It's more than the religious traditions. It is a growing relationship with you that has an impact. And Jesus says something to him that I want to close with honing in on. Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom of God, or you are close to the kingdom of God. You are near the kingdom of God. I want you to understand something, though, today. Being close to the kingdom of God, being near the kingdom of God, that's not the same as being in the kingdom of God. I want to show you a video clip. Guys, you'll go ahead and play that. This is the last few seconds of last year's final men's basketball championship game. Guys, see if you can get that to play for me. Watch this. Oh, wow, what a heartbreak. That's close, isn't it? I mean, that's as close as you can get. But they didn't get the trophy because close isn't close enough. Here, I want to zero in on something today. Jesus looked at him and said, man, you're this close to the kingdom of God. I want to invite you. And you're this close to the kingdom of God. But something's got to happen for you to be in the kingdom of God. It starts with you receiving Christ's invitation for you to have a relationship with the living God. And that comes through Christ alone. So we're going to sing a song in just a moment. about worshiping the Lord. And as we sing this, I'm going to be down front, and I would invite you that if you're not sure you have a relationship with the living God, that's the first essential. That's the key to being in the kingdom of God. I'm going to invite you to actually, during the song while we're singing, come forward and let me know that you're not sure you have a relationship with the Lord or you want to have a relationship with Him. I'm going to connect you with someone. They're going to pray with you. They're going to begin to have some conversation with you to help you understand what that means, okay? All right? So during the song, you're just going to leave where you are, and you're going to come up here, and you might think that's weird or strange. You're just going to leave where you are standing, just come up here and let me know. Kind of clue me into that, okay? All right? And then during the song, you know, you may have a relationship with the Lord, but you may not really feel like you're growing in it. You may feel like your love for Him's kind of grown cold. Maybe just begin with a moment of prayer in this song, asking the Lord to help you remember His grace. Maybe you'll spend some time this week talking with Him about that. And then you may say, well, you know, I'm attempting to grow in the Lord, but I feel like I'm kind of self-centered in it. That's where, get that, add some outward focus to it. Have an eye to share the Lord with others and not just keep them to yourself, okay? Because that'll actually, as you seek to be an impact, you'll be surprised at how that will encourage you to know you need to grow. It's kind of just works together like that, all right? It may be as simple as this. I want to give you some tools. It may start with you this week, and you may say, oh, that's kind of silly, or that's almost too easy. It's a place to start. Man, take those two invitation cards in your program and just hand them to a coworker. Call the neighbor with the kids down the street. Say, hey, we'd like to invite you to this. You can pray for them. I trust God will give you direction. But man, that's God's will for everyone, you know, man. You want to grab the essentials, man. Father in heaven, in prayer right now, I ask you. These are my neighbors. Lord, I pray that they'll have a relationship with you. I pray they'll grow in it. And ultimately, Lord, I pray you'll help them to see that they've been made to have an impact on others. So fill them with your Holy Spirit, I pray. And I pray for anyone here right now, Lord, who during this song needs to come forward and to begin to have some conversation about what it means to have a relationship with you. Lord, others may feel led to come forward and let us know they want to become an official part of this church family. Lord, we certainly invite and welcome that as well. Lord, I want to just pray right now that you'll be with those who will gather at 5 p.m. tonight for our membership workshop, that seminar, that fellowship. As you continue to build believers here and equip us to care for one another and to have an impact on others. Oh, Lord God, help us to love you and help us to love people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.